And on that note this morning, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me in them to Psalm 126 and stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning, Psalm 126. Father, as we stand before you with our Bibles open, Father, as these words, God, will also be on the screen before us, God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you are with us. We ask that you would touch us, speak to us through your inerrant, inspired, infallible, all-sufficient, glorious word, and make us what we need to be for your glory for 2021 and beyond. We love you this morning and praise you. We ask you to save the lost. We ask you to revive your church in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 126 says this, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them." The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Today's message, as we begin this brand new 2021 year, is this: looking back, looking forward, looking up. And you may be seated. As we have now entered into 2021, thank the Lord for it, we can look back and we can look forward, but we must first look up. You know, it's good to look back to see where we've been and to see mainly what God has done. And boy, we can really look back on this last year and say, wow, what a year, what a year. It's also good to look forward prayerfully with anticipation of better things to come. And as we make these New Year's resolutions and commit ourselves to God, we're looking forward to a much better time. But again, we must look up to Him first, who is the God of the past, the God of the present, and the God of the future. We must look to Him as those who are under the mighty hand of God and in the sight of God, assuming a position of humility. As a matter of fact, the word of this month is the word humility. So we look up to our Savior. We look up to our source. We look up to our sovereign, and we cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. I think that Psalm 126 is a passage that involves this kind of looking. Looking back, looking forward, looking up. Six powerful verses of passionately and intensely looking to God. Now, Psalms 120 through 136 are known as a section of the Psalms called the Great Hallel, and they are songs of ascent. The Jews would sing to the Lord and worship the Lord on the way up to Jerusalem, which was for most of the people in that area up. Elevation-wise, at about 2,700 feet. Our elevation right here is only 30 to 50. I'm talking about right here as we stand and as we sit, only about 30 to 50 feet above that of Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, I just happen to have my phone with me, and of course, I have an altimeter on my phone. So I want to see what we are at right now. Here it is. It's fluctuating some. 2740 something, now down to 2735. Oh yeah. It's sort of stopping at 2734. You can see it. There it is. That's where we are. So we are about the elevation, going up a little bit, about the elevation of this wonderful place of Jerusalem. I'll just give this phone to Janet because I don't need it anymore. I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to text. I'm just going to give it away. But you know, I think about all the Jews as they would go up to Jerusalem and they would sing these kinds of songs to the Lord. and give him glory. They were looking back. They were looking forward. They were looking up. They were giving God the glory, singing to God on their ascent up to this wonderful holy city, this place called Jerusalem. But I've got a question for you on that note. Do you do the same thing on the way up to Riverside Baptist Church every Sunday? Do you sing songs of worship to God on the way? Wait a minute, preacher. That's what we do when we get there. We can fuss and fight until we get there, but, you know, that's what we do when we walk into the sanctuary. No. I tell you, it'd make our worship a whole lot better here if we would worship him on the way here. And maybe even on Saturday, worship the Lord and give him glory and pray. Maybe do some of that hallel praising. Some of that going to church tomorrow, praise him. Looking forward to it. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe even on Friday. And then for the rest of the week. Praising God and worshiping him. That's what these Jews did. They would go to Jerusalem at certain times, at special times, times of the unleavened bread, Pentecost, the ingathering times of the tabernacles, the celebration of the booths. And then they would glorify God as they ascended to this great city of Jerusalem. I think that Psalm 126, being one of those psalms of the great Hallel, is indeed a psalm of joy, which was, of course, a recent subject. I preached about joy last Sunday. And it's very similar to Psalm 85, which we discussed very briefly on Wednesday evening. It is in contrast to Psalm 137, which is an expression or expressions of lament because of Babylonian captivity. But indeed, it is very much like Psalm 85. It's a psalm, this Psalm 126 is a psalm of deliverance. God delivered his people, Israel, numerous times. We see God delivering Israel in the times of Moses, in the times of Joshua. We see God delivering Israel under Ezra's leadership and Nehemiah's leadership, and the list goes on. Perhaps this is a time when Cyrus the king let them return to their land, and they were absolutely elated. So I want us to take a look and make some application this morning, because it's not just for the people of Israel. It's for the body of Christ this morning to feast upon this psalm, to ingest this spiritually, and to apply it as God's people. Let's talk about what we see here. First of all, we see what God did. In verses 1 and 2, God did some things that were referred to. The psalmist here says this: when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. What did God do? Well, first of all, there's the wonder factor. As they contemplated, the people of God, as they contemplated how God had once again delivered them, it was like a dream to them. Have you ever had a dream come true in your life? For something that you've wanted so badly, and all of a sudden it's before you, it's happening, and you're saying, it's like a dream come true. Let me pinch myself to see if I'm dreaming. It's a dreamy time when God does something wonderful for us. Although we should never doubt God and doubt his ability to do wonderful things. When those things do happen, we are those who are as if we're dreaming. We're in a trance, so to speak. We're wild by what God does. Our mouths are just open wide, unclosable. Possibly decades had passed since Israel had been delivered in such a way. Again, this is similar to Psalm 85 as they reflected on what God did for them. It was a wonderful thing for them. And this wonderful thing led to the worship that came from their very beings as they ascended to Jerusalem. This experience led them to praise God for what he had done. It led them to worship him. And after their mouths were closed, you know, when you just You're just so wild with something, your mouth just stays open. Finally, when their mouths were closed, God filled their mouths, the Bible says, with laughter and with song. And they had the joy of the Lord in their lives, and they weren't ashamed of it. They weren't shy about it. Jewish people were talkative people, were vibrant people, but now they're even more so. It's like vibrance on steroids. But that brings up the world. The world around them who saw what God had done for them, and the world around them who heard what God had done for them. The Bible says that the heathen around them picked up on this praise, and they noticed that God had done great things for them. Wouldn't it be great if the world around us would say the same thing when God did great things for us? You know, again, I'm reminded of that Old Testament passage in the book of Joshua. And I've used this a couple of times recently because this is just such a great example of the heathen hearing something and reacting or responding to it. In Joshua chapter 2, you remember when Joshua sent spies to Jericho, and these spies had a conversation with Rahab, who was a person, a harlot, mind you, who was so touched by God that God brought her into the people of God, into the kingdom of God, thank God. And she was even in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, the rest of Jericho weren't like Rahab. She's talking to these spies, and she said unto the men in Joshua 2, verse 9, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. That was years before then. When you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. She goes on to say, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Say it with me. Because of you. That's what Rahab said to those spies. Because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the Lord God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now the rest of the people, all they could do was just be melted. But Rahab was brought into connection with the Lord God Almighty, and she was rescued as a result. What a beautiful story that is. But we see there a wonderful picture of the heathen, the pagan lands around the people of God, hearing about what God had done for the people of God, and them reacting to it by their hearts just simply melting within them. And then you have Paul and Silas over in the New Testament. When the church had begun and they were serving God, Paul cast out a demon from a young lady. And he was working for the Lord, ministering for God, doing great things for God. And what happened? He got thrown in jail as a result of it. He was beaten because of it. In that jail cell with his partner, Silas, at the darkest hour, at midnight, the Bible says in verse 25 of Acts 16, and at midnight, Paul and Silas began to curse. Were real bitter. Began to complain. Now, what would we do? God, why did you do this to me? I was serving you faithfully, and here I am in jail. Back's bleeding. Treated like a common criminal. Let me reread that because I didn't read it right. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Amen? And sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. So we see here again, Old and New Testaments, how the people of God, the scripture says that the prisoners there in the prison, who deserved to be there, heard these two who did not deserve to be there. They heard them praising God and singing at the midnight hour, at probably one of the worst times of their lives. Instead of being bitter, complaining, and just being all to pieces, they were praising God, giving him glory in the midst of it all. And they heard it. And great things happened as a result of that. So we see a couple of examples there in Scripture, aside from Psalm 126, where the world sees some things and hears some things there in Joshua, Acts, and again in Psalm 126. And we see that the world witnessed what God did. And beloved, I would say to you today, to us today, that the world around us still needs to see and they still need to hear what God did. And we, as the people of God, who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, baptized in the Holy Ghost of the living God, we have a message for the nations to hear. It's a gospel message. It's a message of evangelism. And I would say to us today, as the psalmist said in Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What a message we have to give to the nations about what God did. What God did in the Old Testament, and then what God did ultimately in sending Christ, and how God saved us because of what Christ did for us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say that. Let the world around us hear that. They may hate us worse as a result of it, but so be it. They need to hear it. They need to be stirred to no end. God delivered his people as he does. And the people of God published the good news and the world heard it. And I'm thankful that God has ultimately delivered us. Because again, Christ was that center figure of all of history. He was the hinge of it all. The Old Testament saints, as they walked with God, were looking forward to Jesus Christ coming and their sins being under the blood of Christ, just like the New Testament saints look back to the cross, Christ in the middle. He was there on that cross, nailed there. The Bible says that because of the blood of his cross, we are reconciled to God, and peace is made between us and God. Peace! I see that you're real happy about having peace with God this morning. Dear God, that ought to make us just jump out of a window or something. Don't do that. Don't do. I know you wouldn't anyway. You're barely moving out there. I don't think you'll jump out of a window. But hey, listen, 2021's here, and we've got something to praise God for. He hath done great things for us. And the greatest thing was sending his only begotten Son, that we may have peace with him, that we may be redeemed, bought, purchased, and made his own. The world needs to hear that message. They need to hear what God did. But then what about what God needs to do? What we want him, what we pray for him to do? God do. That's a cry. That's a cry to God. God do something now. You did that, Lord. Now we cry out to you for you to do more. In verses 3 and 4, the psalmist says, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. He speaks there of the work of God. The work of God. He says this, turn again in verse 4, turn again our captivity. What the psalmist was saying there was that as they trekked towards Jerusalem, leaving captivity behind, they were saying, God, would you please restore all of us to the land? As some of us, as a remnant, as we move forth, Lord, please restore all of us to the land. Bring us all back together again, Lord. Make it better than it ever was. Does that sound familiar? It sounds like something we've personally experienced in the last year. March of 2020, on the 15th of March, I believe it was, we had to put a one call out and we had to say, David remembers it, we're not going to be meeting in person tomorrow. And I sat right here behind this offering table, Doug with camera, Janet over here as well, and we did a Facebook Live. What in the world is that? And I preached a message, and then I did it again the next Sunday, And then me and Doug, we started making a better production of it, and we started filming ahead of time and making them better. And I was behind. We did all of that for months and months, and then we came back together. But when we did, it wasn't the same, was it? You could feel it. Didn't feel too good, did it? And I think we need to pray as the psalmist prays. Turn again our captivity. God, bring them all back together. Lord, bring us all back together again so that we can have the 175 and the 200 people that we had at one time and beyond that. Pray for God to do such a work in 2021 that it doesn't even compare. Just far surpasses. And listen, folks, are numbers important? Yes, because numbers are people, right? And we want them all in here. Folks getting saved, folks getting revived, folks worshiping God and just having a time in Him. Amen. Sort of like that church last week that I played for you. I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart, praising God and just worshiping Him. Not cutting up and acting crazy just for that sake, but for craziness sake, but for God's sake. But the world needs to hear that kind of message from us. And the church needs to hear that kind of message from us. And we need to pray that kind of prayer to God. God, restore your people once again and make us better than ever before. He speaks here of some things that perhaps in Psalm 85, he's already, or the psalmist has already reflected upon. If you look back to Psalm 85, you'll see the work of the Lord that's exemplified there. God's ways, God's salvation, God's glory, God's mercy, God's truth, His righteousness, His peace, and His blessings. We talked about that Wednesday night. These things, the work of God that the psalmist is praying for here, just as it was alluded to in Psalm 85, it was recognized by the nations, and it was recognized by the holy nation, the people of God, as they said, the Lord hath done great things for us. God, do it again. That brings us to the we factor. Listen. The Lord hath done great things for us, verse 3, whereof we are glad. The we there is the people of God. In verse 2, the heathen referred to us as them. The Lord has done great things for them. In verse 3, the word us is used, referring to the people of God. In verse 4, the word our is used, referring to us. It's that God has done great things for us. And we're glad as a result of it. The people of God. Again, in Joshua chapter 2, the heathen had said this, and Rahab reported it to the spies. God, because of you, has done these things. Wow. God does a lot for us, and we don't deserve it, do we? The body of Christ, the people of God, ultimately agreed with these Gentiles and said, yeah, He's done great things for us. We're not going to let you say it as a heathen nation all around us. We're going to say it ourselves. And the psalmist went on to pray, fill up the streams, referring to the region of Beersheba, which was arid and dry in other times of the year, but in the spring, when the spring rains came, the streams would just fill up. God, instantly fill it up for us. Restore us, rebuild us, refurbish us, and revive us, Lord. And then there's the whereof factor. Because of these things, you've made us glad. Whereof we are glad. These acts of God brought more joy to the people of God, and they gladly expressed this. Now, as we look at these things, we understand that these do have a physical and a spiritual application for them and for us, for the people of God. The people of God wanted to be restored to a physical place and experience the physical blessings that God intended to give to them. But most importantly, it was a spiritual matter between them and God. But because without a relationship with God, all the good stuff that He gives us really don't amount to much. The same is true for us. We want God to bless us and bring us back and to physically heal us, especially after having what we've experienced the last year. But more than anything, we desire for God to help us to apply these things that he's talking about here in a spiritual way, asking God to revive us and to refurbish us. God, the psalmist says, do it again. God, you did it. You filled our lives, our mouths, our hearts with song and with laughter. It was like we were dreaming. We're so blessed. But God, please, please do it again. Please bring us all back. And then that brings us to the last thing. And that is that one day God's going to be done. And we're looking forward to the day that God's done. I don't mean God's over. I mean God's done with us on this earth. And he delivers us. And we are here now and we suffer now as a result. But there is, praise God, hallelujah to the Lamb of God, there is a finish line where God's done working with us and through us on this earth. The psalmist mentions some things here in verses 5 and 6. They that sow tears or in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. We sang that song earlier. I asked Miss Dodd if she could bring up that old song. It's not even in our hymn book. It's not even in the 1975 Redback hymnal. You had to go back to the Greenback Broadman hymnal, Frank, to find Bringing in the Sheaves. But we got it. Bringing in the sheaves. Referring to wheat or some kind of fruit, a harvest where you can gather it all together and you can bring it in. And everybody's blessed with abundance as a result of this physically. But there's some things that he mentions here that we need to look at in regard to the fact that one day it's going to be over. We're headed for that finish line. And that is, first of all, the weeping part of it all. The part where we are crying out to God. You know, for Israel, as they came back, as they often did, to the land, as God would restore them. And he was so patient with them and so loving and so kind with Israel. And they were so rebellious over and over again. Sound familiar? Sounds like the church, doesn't it? But for Israel, it was tough to start over. And perhaps the psalmist had in mind here this farmer who would take precious seed and just sow it in faith. Not knowing what would happen. Not having all the things that they once had. But planting the seed, praying, God, bring it back to us again. It was hard for them just to start over. And perhaps the tears here were shed as the seed is being sown here in the rebuilding stages. But the hope is that a harvest is coming. And for us today, as we hopefully on the heels of a pandemic or on the backside of it, it's really not easy to start over. Some things almost seem to be irreversible. Damage has been done and it's tough. But as we do attempt to start over, we pray through the cries of our heart for better days. But more than that, we pray for better days, spiritually speaking. Not just for us to have businesses that thrive once again and for people to be out there again hustling and bustling and all the things that they do, not just at Christmas time, but all during the year. I'll tell you, I don't know of a time pre-COVID that Walmart's parking lot wasn't full. Matter of fact, I don't know of a time during COVID that Walmart's parking lot wasn't full. I mean, it was like Black Friday every day at Walmart. And it looks so strange that when Walmart does close up, like at Christmas time, and you ride by and you see three cars in the parking lot, you're like, wow, that's weird. I didn't know that pavement was there. But oh, we want that to come back to us. Yeah, we do. But more than that, we pray that God would do something spiritually like never before. And that as we sow tears and as we cry out to God in these days, and as we cry out to God for revival even, and as we even cry tears of repentance, because this doesn't, I don't think, have reference just to maybe one specific thing, but many different things, physically and spiritually, even tears of repentance, sowing tears of repentance, because that does bring forth great things. Because when the body of Christ, when the people of God, when heathens turn to God and the body of Christ turns back to God and we repent and turn from our wicked ways, let me tell you, great things happen as a result of that. Fruitful things happen as a result of that. So perhaps these tears were not just tears of labor, but tears of repentance that we weep, but we reap joy as a result. And yes, we do labor for God. And we even suffer as we labor for God, regardless of COVID. We suffer. The more serious we get about God, it seems that suffering comes to us and opposition comes our way. But as has been said, winners of souls are first weepers for souls. The labor we do for God, even though we weep while we do it at times, we continue to do so until the master says, done. Yes, sir. That's what we do. Because it's worth it all. There's the weeping factor, there's the worth factor. Doesn't matter what we have to suffer through, the tough and the rough, the adversity and the suffering, it now doesn't compare to the glory that we'll receive then in Christ. Christ Jesus and being with Him forever is worth it all. Because that brings us to the win. We win. The psalmist here is talking about winning. He cries until he gets there, but he's winning. When in the end you bring your sheaves with you, you bring your fruit with you, when there's fruit produced in the end, that's a win. And I want you to know this, beloved, that we have already won in Christ. We're looking towards that being absolutely and ultimately fulfilled, but we have already won in Christ. And Lord willing, one day we will bring in those sheaves, and He is willing. And the harvest time will come, finally. Yeah, there will be a finish line. But even along the way, there are times of accomplishments or accomplishment that we experience today when God has done something. But ultimately, we'll be in heaven with Him forever. He will deliver us from this world that we live in. And we are winners through Christ. So, think about these things. Think about what God did, not just for Israel, but for us. Ask God to do it again and even more. And look to the day when God is done and we're bringing in the sheaves. Oh, listen, folks. There's going to be a day when we stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, and He'll judge us according to our works. We're justified before Him now, but He'll judge us according to our works. And everything we do for Him now counts. And all the fruit that's born in our lives spiritually, and all the people that we bring to Christ as a result of our witness, that counts now. And one day there will be a great ingathering. And we're looking forward to that. So as we look back, and as we look forward, just as the psalmist does here, and as we look up to God, we ask ourselves, or we ask God rather, not ourselves, but God, for first of all, healing from the past. 2020 was a very heavy year. And it's a year that we need to give to God and thank Him for it. But we need to ask for help for now. And ask for the best year that we've ever had. I'm not saying, God, give me a new truck. God, I want a new boat. God, I want to be healthy. God, I want $1 million. Matter of fact, God knows I want $32 million, if you remember that. I mean, it'd be nice. But I'm talking about God making us the people of God who love Him. And our love for Him making this the best year ever. You know, I've heard people say, you know, oh boy, we're going into 2021 and we still got this COVID stuff. And then we're going into 2021 and there are some people who look back for the last 4 years and they just hated the administration at the White House and in politics. And they just couldn't bear it. And then there are those who are looking now at what is coming in and the same thing is being said, oh, we just can't bear it. We're just worried about it. Let me just make a couple of suggestions about all of that. And this is the perspective that the church needs to have. First of all, I don't care who's in office, whether it's left, right, or wherever, whoever. Jesus Christ has not abdicated His throne. Hey, listen, He's still on it. And He is Lord of all, King of kings. And He will not be impeached. He will not be kicked out. He is God Almighty. Hallelujah. He is Lord. And if we're His people, then what do we have to worry about? We need to be concerned. We need to do a lot of things. I'm not saying just don't act like it's not there. But hey, we need to realize that Jesus is Lord. That's number one. Number two, the people who are there, regardless of who they are, we need to, on their behalf, go to God for them. We need to lift them up before God and ask for God to have His way. I want to tell you something, folks. I did that the last 4 years. I prayed. I prayed for salvation for the leaders who weren't truly saved, although they might have said they were saved. I prayed that they would be saved. And as I look towards this new year or this new administration, I'm praying the very same prayer. And I want you to know, listen, homosexuality, abortion, and massive chaos and those kinds of things, and the support of that kind of thing is not of God. It's not Christianity, regardless of what claims may be. That's just a fact. And the people of God, the preachers of God's word, need to continue to preach that and stand on that and never back up on that. Amen. We know what's what. We understand. And we don't stand with foolishness and ungodliness. How could anybody who calls on the name of Christ stand for that?
That's right.
But you know what? I don't care who's there and what they're doing, what they're saying, what they're thinking. We need to pray for God the Holy Ghost, regardless of which way they're going, to touch their hearts to such an extent that they would say, we've heard what God has done. We've seen what God has done. And God has moved our hearts and we're forsaking our ways. And we're changing for the glory of God. Wouldn't that be a great thing? If all of Washington, D.C. got saved. Wouldn't that be great? And that's what we need to pray for, folks, so we don't have any reason to fear. Know that, first of all, Jesus is Lord, and secondly, pray for them. Pray specifically for their salvation. So we need help for now. And we need to be thankful for the hope we have in the future, and that is the fact that we're going to be in heaven one day. And we know that's as good as done. Lord, let us not forget that even though we suffer, we'll live forever with Him. You know, 2021, and you see this on the front of your bulletin, has been declared by your pastor. I hope you support me in this. It's too late if you don't, but anyway, if it's on the bulletin, it's solidified, right? But it's declared the year of the kneel. Have you noticed that? 2020 was the year of the walk. And that's a good thing. But I thank God saying, I think you need to kneel before you walk. Because He sort of knocked us down, did He not? God's in control. kind of rung our bells and got our attention. Maybe God's just saying, hey, church, get on your knees. Seek my face. And then you can rise up and shine for me. So we're going to be talking more about that. We're going to be talking about seeking God, praying to God, and just making this the year of the kneel. I think that's the position we need to be in. So let's do this. Let's do this. You may be here this morning and you don't know Christ as Savior. You might be listening on Facebook and you've never come to the point in your life where you acknowledge Jesus as Lord of your life. You've never come to the point of being changed by the Holy Spirit of God, embracing the gospel. I pray that even now you would realize that Jesus did die for our sins. He was put in a borrowed tomb as a dead man. But he rose on the third day, and thank God he lives forevermore, and he saves those who call upon him. Would you call upon him today? And if you call upon the Lord, I want to know about it. If you want to pray about it and talk about it some more, I want you to seek me out. I'm not hard to find. I want you to be saved. And I want the people of God to experience, as we enter into this new year, true revival that the psalmist speaks of. Especially in Psalm 85, if you look back to that. Will you not revive us again, O Lord? Pray for that. And you know what? I think it's something that we can have if we'll just grab it. There's a microphone in front of me. I can grab it, or I can say, there it is. There's revival. You can look at it, or you can grab it. Because it's for us. God's not put anything in the way to cause us not to be able to come back to him and repent and begin to walk with him. There's nothing in the way that you can't overcome. Church, I pray that we would enter this year as those who are revived. Looking back, yes. Looking forward, yes. But looking up most of all and seeking God's holy face. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your word. Thank you for Psalm 126. God, it's encouraging to us as we enter this new year. Help us, God, not to miss out on what you're saying to us. We know, God, as the psalmist did, we know what you did for us. We ask you to do great things for us. And we know that one day you're going to be done with us on this earth and you're going to take us to be with you in glory. We're looking forward to that. But God, in the meantime, we've got to function with unction. And help us, Lord, in Jesus' precious, holy, glorious name. Amen.